If you're a politician or a leader of a business or organisation, there are particular words you might use that have a lot of power in evoking good feelings in people that you want to influence. So buzzwords that you might want to work into every communication because people are drawn to these ideas. So, for instance, innovation is a good one. Sustainability is a popular word these days. And you might think of other words like this that you've heard, but one of the great words of this kind is community. Most of us love the idea of community, and we want to be part of a community. We want to have a strong and healthy community. So you really can't go wrong talking about community, because all of us know that we actually are part of a community, or many communities, and that the quality of our life depends on these communities. So we have different types of community that we're part of. Some communities we're part of are geographic, perhaps our local area, like the hills here. Some are to do with common interests such as sport. Some are based on our work or our trade. Others are to do with things like causes or concerns that unite people to work together. And our family, of course, is our fundamental community of life. So community is a powerful idea, and it's a very strong idea in the New Testament as well, when people talk about the church, or about how the followers of Jesus are supposed to think of themselves. Basically, it says, in addition to all these other communities, our relationship with God, through Jesus, also initiates us into membership of a spiritual community, which is based on a shared spiritual life and a shared purpose and mission that Jesus gave to his disciples. And our reading today from 1 Corinthians 12 is about this idea and about what it means. When we looked at the book of Leviticus earlier in the year, we saw that the laws the Israelites were supposed to follow in this book had different areas of focus based on different spheres of relationships that we live in. So there were some laws that were to do with worship, our relationship with God. There were laws also to do with holiness and purity, which were to do with our relationship with ourselves and our own healthy way of living. There were also their laws to do with our relationship with others in our community, our neighbours, and how we treat them. And then there were laws to do with our relationship with the whole creation, about our lifestyle, and how we treat animals and the land. In this series on the pattern of life, we've been thinking about how this type of thinking might apply to the life of Christians today. How do we take this idea in the Bible of a unified life centered on the experience of God and start to figure out how to live that way? So far, we've thought over the last few weeks about some of the spiritual disciplines that we might build into our lives for this to happen. So when it comes to our relationship with God, for instance, there are disciplines of prayer, of silence, of worship, and study of the Bible. And all these disciplines focus our attention on the presence of God, both in our individual experience and in our gathering with other people in God's presence as well. The last 2 weeks, we've thought about some of the disciplines that build our relationship with ourselves. So we thought about our bodies and how the way we care for them, you know, what we eat, how we sleep and exercise, how that can affect our spiritual health. And then last week, we thought about how we care for our souls, you know, how we look at the way that we rest and work, the energy of our life, and what we pay attention to. And these disciplines can help us shape our life around God. Today, I want us to start thinking about our relationship to other people and the fact that there are spiritual disciplines that build up that side of our lives as well. And today we think about our community and service within the church, and next week about our mission to serve the world. The reality is that our active membership of the community of the church is a spiritual discipline, and it's a very important one for Christian people. And this is something that I know many people struggle with because it's quite counter to our culture at the moment, and there are lots of things that get in the way of this for us. And the Bible puts forward the idea that Christians have a responsibility to create and build community and to serve each other generously and sacrificially. Our Australian culture, however, despite its many great aspects, it tends to be quite individualistic and quite consumerist. So there's a drive in our economic and political life in particular to consider ourselves as separate from others, as individuals, and to pursue our own enjoyment first before thinking of others. And this is obviously the opposite of a life of community and service. And so many of us bring this lifestyle and this struggle into our membership of the church. But Paul could hardly be stronger in the image that he uses in our Bible reading to describe the closeness and relationship of members of the church. And he uses an image that many of you will be very familiar with, of the body of Christ. In verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And in the rest of the passage that we read, he uses this image or metaphor or analogy of the body to describe a number of aspects of Christian community, particularly the idea that our unity is expressed through our relationship between diverse, different people. And that's why this passage focuses on spiritual gifts. It's not about the gifts themselves, primarily, but about the reality that the different gifts and callings and strengths that people have are given to us for the purpose of creating a whole, balanced, strong body that includes all kinds of people. And all these people, all these different parts of the body, are joined together through a common experience of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And the diversity of a community like the church is brought together by a unity in the Spirit. As it says in verses 4 to 7, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the different gifts that people have are manifestations of the underlying reality that God's Spirit is working through our community. Everyone has a role to play in the body of Christ in working for the common good, which is to build each other up in our faith and in our life. So an image of this relationship between the Holy Spirit and our gifts of the Spirit might be that of a beam of white light that shines through a prism and creates a rainbow effect. The Spirit is the light, the prism is the church, and the rainbow is the different ways that the same light travels through different people and creates different effects and different kinds of beauty. And I believe that this idea of community in the Spirit, the body of Christ, should push us to consider at least two spiritual disciplines of community to integrate practically into how we live our lives as Christians. The first of these is the discipline of spiritual gifts. And this means accepting this reality that God's Spirit has a manifestation that he wants to make through each of us. He wants us to affirm that in ourselves and other people and cultivate those gifts by using them and refining them in service. And I know that members of St. Mark's have spent a bit of time on this over the years. And in our reading today, there's an interesting list of some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In this list, Paul tends to describe things that we would consider supernatural, like words of special knowledge, prophecy, speaking in tongues, miracles, healing, etc. And those are real things, and I've seen them operate in people's lives in the church. But it's true also that the Spirit works through other types of gifts as well, and seems to impart a special power and effectiveness to many different types of work as he wills. So there are some people who seem to have particular practical gifts to offer a community. For instance, those people who are great at creating hospitality and making people feel welcome and cared for. This is a real spiritual gift, and it's not one that everyone has. Others are great at creating works of music and art that glorify God and show his beauty, you know, and again, not everyone can do that. Others do have gifts of words from God to encourage other people. Some people have gifts of leadership and inspiring people to follow Jesus. Some people are very gifted at evangelism and seem to be very effective when they share their faith with other people. I think the point is not to get too hung up on the list of gifts, but to think about where is it that you and other people can see the Spirit of God manifesting his power in your life, and to pay attention to that, and to learn about that, and to use it to build other people up. This discipline involves you figuring out our gifts and not holding them back, and not holding back our contribution from other people. Now, there are many, many ways that people have developed to help Christians think about this issue for themselves, you know, what our gifts might be. For instance, if you just Google spiritual gifts test or inventory or quiz, you'll find many that might help. But I want us to do a quick exercise now, just to get your brain working on this, if you haven't thought about that before or a while. So I want to think about three basic categories, about our head, our heart, and our hands. These are three parts of our body that can stand for different aspects of our giftedness and action. And I'd like you to think and identify which of these is your strength and perhaps your giftedness. So first, the head. Well, this is where we do our thinking, most of us, isn't it? And where we do our talking. So some people are gifted with ideas, with words, communicating, expressing, thinking, writing, sharing those sort of things with other people. Would you identify that as a strength for yourself? Certainly my dominant area. So maybe you put your hand on your head, if that's for you. Secondly, think about the heart. You know, the heart is about feeling, about relationship. It's about caring for people, showing comfort, warmth, hospitality, sharing, building groups, all that kind of thing. Think about who the heart people among us are, who, for whom this is a strength. Is that you? Put your hands on your heart. You might have more than one. You might also be a head and a heart person. And that's, of course, true. And finally, think about our hands. You know, we do things with our hands. We make things. We build things. We cook. We play music. We paint. We fix things. There are practical people in our midst. And so you put your hands out and see that, if that's you. You might have more than one. You might be three. But look around. You can see the gifts among us if this is you. And this is a simple test of where the Spirit might gift you for the common good, for the church, in your head, your heart, or your hands. And so if you see opportunities to use these gifts, for instance, if volunteering opportunities come up or you see a need, then that's something to use. To intentionally seek out opportunities to serve other people in the church community with your gifts. And this is a discipline. Because, as Paul says, we need each other because of our differences. If all of us were hands, then the body would be all hands. Or if we were all eyes, we wouldn't be able to see very well. Or we could see very well, but we'd not hear. And because, whether or not we know it, we are all connected in Christ. And as Paul says in verse 25, when one of us suffers, we all suffer, and we rejoice when one rejoices. And this is what it means to be a community. So this discipline of our spiritual gifts will build others up. And as Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 13, that famous chapter, we will experience in this the greatest gift and the manifestation of the Spirit, which is love. And so the second discipline worth talking about of community is love itself. Love is a discipline of community. It practically and intentionally works towards building up other people and maintaining relationships between us. Paul is very clear about the discipline of love in 1 Corinthians 13, which gets read at so many weddings for this very reason. So he says in chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And those things that Paul says about love are not primarily about feelings, are they? They're about the disciplines of our heart, of our head and our hands. They're about how we think about other people, how we honour them, how we care for them practically. And so our life as Christians needs to contain an intentional practice of these disciplines so that our relationships will be real, so they'll be what God intends, and the body of Christ will be a real thing that we see. And again, this challenges our culture of individualism. I've often felt there's almost no part of the Bible so disregarded in the church as 1 Corinthians 12, where it says we are not to say to other parts of the body that are different to us that we don't need them, or that they are no good. The eye should not say to the hand, I don't need you. But it's very common for people to gather together in smaller communities within the church or even within denominations based on the fact that they are with people who are like them, people who are the same age, the same culture, people who like the same kind of worship, who have the same spiritual gifts, the same style. And then to believe or feel that others who are different are wrong, less spiritual, not needed. And the result is the fractured and ineffective church that so many of us experience and see around us. So the discipline of love looks instead to affirm, to build up, and to be united with people who are different to us. Only love can do that. It is not natural. And this involves learning, for instance, as a discipline, how to deal with conflict. I've met very few people in the church or out of it who are good at entering into healthy conflict with other people. Even Christian leaders are not usually good at this. And the result is broken and painful communities. So conflict resolution is a discipline of love of the body of Christ that we need to learn. How can we live together and work together and serve God together with people who are different to us, who see the world differently, and who value things differently to us and have different strengths? That is very hard, and it's not natural for us. It is a discipline of love to learn that. So today I think the challenge is to think about, how does our pattern of life include meaningful membership in the community of the church, the body of Christ? What has God given you to contribute to others and to build them up? Where can you use these gifts? How are you able and have the opportunity to receive the benefit of the gifts of other people? And where do you need to learn how to love more deeply and more truly, more like Christ as a member of his body? We are headed in eternity towards a perfect community, which is humanity as God has planned it to be. And God is a community. God is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is inviting us into the life of that community. Our opportunity then is to learn now with each other what it means to be truly part of a spiritual community, so that we will be ready for that when that time comes.